So, to the title of my message, and I'm going to blow through this pretty quick. And the title kind of goes with what was going through our life this past week. And I'm not saying that my week was harder than your week or anything like that, but we all go through weeks and times of tribulation. We all go through stuff where it's like, holy smokes, everybody's after us. Nope, forgot to turn this on. There we go. And so we were, this has been one of those weeks. So the title of my message is Attitude, An Attitude of Gratitude. Now, if you grew up in the 90s, you grew up a different, you know, the church scene, that was a big buzzword. Hey, brother, it's an attitude of gratitude, you know, and it's not, I'm not trying to be cliche or anything, but that had power and it had meaning. I mean, sometimes we can overuse things or use it because, you know, when you know Christianese, you know how to talk the game, you know, especially in church. Hey, how you doing? You know, all hell's breaking loose. Hey, brother, I'm blessed. So if you're having a bad time or something's tough, it's I'm blessed. Hey, how you doing? I'm blessed. Now, if you're having a bad time, the dog died, your wife left you, your car broke down, all the stuff, all hell broke loose, you're blessed and highly favored. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. And so we say these words, but do we actually believe what we say? And so today I want to talk about an attitude of gratitude. And this is something powerful that has the power to transform your lives, shift your perspective, and draw you closer to God. And that is an attitude of gratitude. You see, we live in a world that is constantly bombarding our focus or shifting our focus on things that we don't have. Go on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that stuff. You got people with the, you know, the jets and the cars and the houses. I'm not going to say that I'm holier than thou. I've seen some, you know, I follow a few real estate brokers and guys just because I like to dream and they'll show mansions. I'm like, wow, that looks nice. Look at that house. That house is clean. Look at that house. There's not a hole in that roof. Look at that faucet. It's not dripping. Look, there's grass in that yard. And, I was at work and just part of what we do. And Tosh was like, hey, Josh, I want you to go and look at the business model of the jet show or the jet showroom or something like that. It's a corporation with private jets. So I started looking and researching, and I'm looking at all these private jets, and I'm like, man, that must be nice. Look at that reclining seat in that jet. And so you can go on social media, you can do all types of stuff, and there's so many times the enemy wants to pull our focus from what we have to what we don't have. And it is often a daily struggle to remind ourselves what we have, what God has given us, but we look at what we don't have, what we're missing, what could be better. But as believers, God calls us to live differently, to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, no matter what our circumstances are. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice. Always pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice it doesn't say to give thanks. It doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. I'll say that again. You got to listen to the wording. It doesn't say to give thanks for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. This means that gratitude isn't just a reaction to good things. It's a lifestyle, a mindset, and spiritual discipline. Having an attitude of gratitude is not about ignoring problems. Have you ever been there? You know, your house is on fire. I'm getting there. House is on fire, you know, a fire department there, they're putting stuff. and people are like, hey, how you doing? Hey, man, this is a great day. Hallelujah, I'm blessed and highly favored. Your roof's caving in, you know, they got the big fire truck with the ladder coming in. This is it now is a four-alarm fire. Fire spreading over to the next door neighbors. Man, this is a great day. We're not called to ignore the problems. Hey, your house is on fire. Yep. But it's in God's hands. I don't know what we're going to do now, but not my problem. It's God's problem. We're not to ignore the problems or take the focus off the problem. Hey, you know, your marriage might be in shambles or whatnot. Your schooling might. And there's so many people that just out of mind, out of sight. We all know that adage, right? Out of mind, out of sight. I do that a lot. Out of mind, out of sight. Take my dirty clothes. I just throw them in my closet. I got paperwork, stuff for business, ministry, all types of stuff. Tiff's like, where's this receipt? I'm like, it's in that pile over there. She's like, but you didn't clean. Yeah, it is. There's no, I put the pile in the filing cabinet. I shut the drawer and you can't see anymore. The problem's gone. But we can't live like that. And so we're going to dive into God's word and discover how to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, which can change our lives. And so this message comes from not of, I got it all together, look at me, I'm this or that, but going through the fire ourselves, literally. So once upon a time, there was a pastor named Joshua, and no, I'm just playing. On Monday, a new cold front was coming in, and so I called Daryl. I was like, hey, Daryl, I got some stuff for you guys, I'm going to bring it over. And so I go to Daryl's church. I'm at his church. I took Shiloh. I got done work early. So I went and I was sitting with Daryl. Shiloh fell asleep. I told Tiffany, hey, I'm going to take him out so you don't have to worry about him. And, you know, do what you need to do. They're cleaning the house. And I go to Daryl and we're talking. And it was actually really good because we had our family. It was family Saturday for our church. So we didn't have church. So that Sunday we went to Daryl's church. So we brought some visitors and Daryl was giving prophetic words about those. But hey, Josh, what do you think? So he's like this lady. Who's this person? He tried, you know. But we never got to finish because my daughter calls me. And I call her back. And next thing I know, well, somebody called me. I didn't see you, but I know Dakota called. Bunch of people called. So I looked at Daryl. I said, man, it must be something serious. Because I thought somebody must have been is bad. Somebody back talk. It's time to daddy to put on the whoop on, like busting some heads time. And my wife gets on, she's like, Josh called 911, something to fire. I said, what? She's like, the house is on fire. That's all she said. Dry or something. I heard house was on fire. House is on fire, can't put it out. So I look at Daryl. Now I'm like any other guy. They got it. I'm just going to keep talking to Daryl. I'm good. They'll be all right. But I was like, oh, man, what's going on? So Daryl's like, hey, man, she sounded kind of panicky. Why don't you go home? And I said, yeah. I said, that's a good idea. I already was grabbing Shiloh. And I'm getting into my car. We're driving. I'm driving down WWY. And I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, show mercy. Lord, send your angels. You know, I'm just like, all the bad thoughts are happening. And I finally get to 10, and I'm like, oh, what am I thinking? I have cameras all in my house. So I turn on all my cameras in my house. I'm like watching. I turn on my Ring app. I'm driving. I got my hands-free device. I'm like hitting buttons, still driving. Shiloh's in the back. I'm like flying down 10. And I look, and I see a bunch of firefighters in my front yard. So I'm like, I'm just praying, like, Lord, please let it be. You know, I turned on the inside cameras and my kitchen camera's full of smoke and it's just black. I'm like, oh man, this is bad. And I see the firefighters and they're just standing around. I'm like, well, nobody's moving with urgency. So this must be good. Like this must be a good thing. So we go in. I get to the street's blocked off. I get to the house. You know, I'm just like, oh man, what's going on? The fire's already put out. And I'm thinking the worst. Like, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I'm thinking, okay, well, the house is still standing, so that's good. But my dryer, so what happened was the gas dryer caught on fire. I thought, oh, man, you know, here we go again. So I get there. I see my parents are sitting on the sidewalk. My family's sitting on the sidewalk. Me and my twisted humor, I almost went to my mom and said, hey, look, isn't this deja vu? When I was little, my brothers were playing with matches at our house long when we were younger. My brother's probably Asher's age, maybe. I was Asher's age. My brothers were three years younger, so they're probably five, six, somewhere around there, seven. And they burnt our house, playing with matches, caught the living room on fire. I didn't know because I was on timeout. I was in my room, and I just hear, Joshua, get out the house! I just remember running down the hallway. I look into the living room. The living room was just engulfed in flame. We had a bookcase. That bookcase was on fire. Just, get out the house. And so I look over at my mom and my dad sitting there. I was like, oh, man. So I was like, I already knew. I was like, man, I know she's rehatching that. Here we go again. We're displaying. I knew. I was just, man. So we talked to the firefighters, and they give us the rundown of what's going on. The gas hose, something happened where fire's just coming out. Tiff unloaded two of the five-pound fire extinguishers in the house trying to set this, turn, you know, extinguish this fire, but it's a gas fire, so the gas is just... Yeah, good luck with that. It's just feeding. It's like, goes out, comes back on. And so I'm just like, oh, man, this is crazy. They get the fire. By the time I get there, the fire's out. Everyone's out in the stuff. And, you know, my kids, they're having a great time. You know, my younger ones, they're getting stickers from the firefighters. They're hot firefighters are high-fiving them. And they're getting hats. They're just having a good old time. And I'm like this. What is good? Y'all having a great time. Do y'all know what's going on? And I say all of this, on paper or when I just heard, your mind tells you it's this, that, and the other. It's bad, it's bad, it's bad. I get in the house, the firefighter shows us what was going on. He's like, oh yeah, by the way, there's a little bit of water damage because you have we have a gas dryer, but we also have steam in it. So there's a water connection on it. So when they pulled it off, they didn't know, popped the hose off, so there's water spraying all over the... All this stuff, and they're bringing buckets out, and they're like, oh, man, everything's said and done. We quiet down. I walk into the laundry room expecting to see the worst, and I was just like, you know what, Lord? Everybody's good. Whatever happens, I'm good with. Even in my mind, I even told my wife this. I said, well, maybe God just wants us to move somewhere nicer. That was my thought driving home. I say, well, maybe we just didn't move quick enough. And he's like, oh, you didn't want to move? I'll move you for you. I want to make you move. So I go into the laundry room, and I'm looking around. They had the dryer out. There's no damage. There's no damage that you can see at all. Besides the chemical stuff that came out the you know, whatever in the water, there was no structural damage that we can see. And I'm just like, Lord, I thank you that you protected my house. I thank you that my family is out. I thank you that my parents are out. I thank you that there's no serious damage. And so we start the whole process, you know, calling insurance. And so we've been displaced, and we've been nomads going from hotel to hotel. And yeah, with seven people, you know, we got three teenagers, but two little ones. And, you know, that's crazy enough as it is. And we get one nice hotel, had a great time. Then we go to the next hotel, and there's mold all over the place. And we got to go to another hotel. So now we're at another hotel for a couple weeks while the insurance and the fire inspector came out. And I say all this to say this. You can look at it and be like, man, this stinks. This is horrible. My deductible. Yeah, I got a high deductible. It's going to be crazy. But I was in my... I was in my office, and I was like, you know what, Lord? I know this deductible is here. It's a 1% of my dwelling. That's going to be a lot. I said, it's not my problem. It's your problem. And I had someone tell me, I am sorry that you're going through all this stress. And I looked at this person. I said, we're actually not stressed. We're having a good time. Josh, that doesn't make sense. Why? Because you have an attitude of gratitude. We're not stressed. We're feeling good because guess what? My whole family's still here. My house is still here. Yes, it needs to be cleaned up. But guess what? We're getting put up at a hotel. I'm not stressing. Daryl's like, Daryl called because he's been checking in on me, and hey, how's it going? I'm like, well, we're going to this hotel. This is where we're at. He said, you know what, Josh? He said, y'all got a were you guys going on vacation this year? I said, probably not. He said, you guys got to go on a vacation. not even on your own dime. He said, man, take your time, live it up, enjoy it. I'm like, okay. So the first this hotel, we have three rooms. So me and Tiffany have our own room. I mean, we have Shiloh, but he goes to bed early. You know what I mean. And what I'm saying is, my poor kid's like, oh my God. But what I'm saying is that this was, yes, there's something bad that's happening. But the good part is I get to spend time with my wife now. And I'm not forking over the bill. Breakfast is done. Guess what? I go home and everything's cleaned. I'm like, man, my bed's made. It's almost like a cruise. But it's an attitude of gratitude that we have to have. Most people will look at this situation and say, oh my God, this is so bad. Yeah, it is bad. I'm not neglecting the problem, but I'm looking at what God has given me. Soon as I said, and this is when I knew this was going to be totally different, is when I got home and I said, Lord, I said, this deductible, we don't really have the money to go stay at a hotel. Someone calls me up. Hey, I'm going to give you $150 for you guys to go eat. I said, cool. And then somebody else calls Tiff. Hey, we got another $150 for you. Heard what happened? Go and eat and whatever. And I'm like, that's $300 right there. Then the insurance is like, hey, we're going to give you guys $2,500 for just incidentals. Don't use it on food, but, you know, buy clothes, do whatever you need to do. If you do buy food, save the receipts, and we'll reimburse you on top of what. I'm like, man, Jesus, come on. We must live with an attitude of gratitude. Yes, this is kind of frustrating at sometimes. Frustrating moving from hotel to hotel, especially in the cold. You know, yes, it's frustrating trying to keep, hey, stop bouncing on the floor. Hey, be quiet. Why are you bringing that guitar? We're in a hotel. I told y'all to shut up. The front office already called me and told me to quit stomping around. Yes, that did happen. The hotel office was like, excuse me, sir. It's quiet time hours, and you're supposed to be quiet at this time. And I'm like, oh, man. And so we've got to have an attitude of gratitude. I don't care if you're in the hospital, the doctor gave you this bad diagnosis. I don't care if your marriage. We have to have an attitude of gratitude. 5 points real quick and then we'll be done. Number one is gratitude is God's will for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Gratitude is not optional. It is part of God's command for our lives daily. It's easy to be thankful when things are good. When your income tax comes in, it's easy to be like, man, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whereas Daryl says, hallelujah anyhow. Got my income tax. Yeah, it's easy to say thank you, Jesus, when you got a paycheck coming, when you got a job. It's easy to say thank you, Jesus, when you're healthy. That's easy. But when things go wrong, do you have the same attitude? Are you still thankful when things are going bad? When the doctor gives you a bad report, when your marriage is on whatever, whatever the issue may be, the circumstance, do you still have that same attitude? The enemy wants to pull our focus from Jesus and look at the circumstances. My challenge is to choose gratitude daily, even in difficult times, trusting that God is working out all things for his good. You know what? It was yes, the house, you know, could have been much, much worse. But guess what? We got a nice little vacation. I got to work remotely, so I got to work from my hotel room. My kids got to walk and go play some games and go have fun with their friends. There's a lot of things that happen that I'm like, okay, what looked bad, it's not, God's turning it to good. Gratitude is not optional. but it is a command for our lives. Number two, gratitude changes our perspective. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Gratitude shifts our focus, what we lack to what we have. Gratitude shifts your focus from what you don't have to what you do have. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my marriage. You know how many people who aren't married and wish that they were? Lord, I thank you for my children. You know how many people, especially now, who want children and can't have children? I was reading a statistic that if you have like $1,000 in your bank account or $500, something like that, it wasn't like even an astronomical amount of money, but you are richer than almost, 70% of the world. Hey, I could be, we have it great here in America. We have it good. I mean, even being poor in America, you're not really poor. You're still pretty. I mean, to be poor in America, you're still richer than most of the world. You're just poor America. You're just poor according to American standards. Go be poor in Mexico and then come talk to me. Go be poor in South Africa and come talk to me. I've been to those places. Go be poor in Afghanistan or the Middle East. Go be poor in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro with the slums. Go be poor in India in the slums. I'm like, man, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, I live in America. We have so many opportunities. There's so many things. We just have a bad mindset. I remember being in Jamaica, and it was really funny because, it's a mindset. You still got hungry Jamaicans and stuff and some of the slums in the bad areas. But it's really funny because everywhere in Jamaica, there's a fruit tree. There's a Gnep tree. There's this tree. I mean, there's just fruit trees everywhere. Everywhere. People's yards, just walking down. All you have to do is walk up to a tree and pop off a fruit and eat it, and you're good to go. But so many times, because people are looking at their problem, this is in Jamaica. One of our Jamaican friends were telling us, pastors, people will walk by the fruit. I don't have any money. I don't have this. I don't have a home. And God is like, I'm giving you food right here. And that is us. We walk around with our heads down and we're just like, it's another bad day. When it rains, it pours. No, look at what you do have. Because at the end of the day, none of the stuff you have here on earth, you're taking with you anyways. My house ain't going with me. About the only thing that gets to go with me is my kids, and that's about it. My wife. And even that, it's not like I'm, come on, Asher, you go. No, they still have to make, you hear what I'm saying? They have to make their own decision, but I have the ability to instill godly wisdom and godly principles in their lives. But my car's not going with me, thank God. Oh, I didn't even tell you about this part. So, totally forgot about that. We're at our hotel. I go home, and I start smelling something. I forgot what we're doing. I smelled something. I was like, we were heading home to go meet something. I don't know. So, we're in our hotel, or we're driving home, and I had to stop by the office real quick, and it's something smelling. I open up the hood, and I had a line bust in my vehicle. I thought it was just going to be a quick little hose, just a little plick, plick. Call a buddy of mine. Hey, man, what do you think about this? He said, boy, take it to, this is Tuesday, right before the cold. He said, boy, you better take that to a mechanic because once it freezes, it's going to bust that and you're really going to be out in trouble. And it's the coolant system. So my car will overheat. So I take it and I'm like, oh, it'll be a couple hundred, maybe $100, $200. It ain't going to be. Hello, Mr. Gaines. We got the part. We got your car ready to go. It's going to be $888.87. I said, oh, man. I said, I text somebody. I said, well, got my car fixed. I'm $900. I'm $900 lighter, but hey. I could have been like, oh, man. Oh, my God. Here we go. First the house, now the car. I just kind of like, well, my wife's like, You know, she heard. She's like, Josh, what are we going to do? I said, ah, don't worry about it. We'll figure it out. We do it. We beg, hustle, deal. We make it happen. God's always saying, went over, paid it, called it a day. Number two, gratitude changes our perspective. When you have the right perspective, you can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, gratitude invites God's presence. Psalms 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Thanksgiving is the key to entering God's presence. Okay, I'm going to finish this up in 9 minutes. Thanksgiving is the key to entering to God's presence. We are always looking for that life hack. You go on Instagram, you go all these things. You've got a life hack. Do this with your toothpaste. Do this with the Instapot. Do this with the... Everybody has a life hack. A life hack or a hack is simply a clever tip or technique that helps everyday tasks become easier. That's really it. Maybe more efficient, maybe more effective. But really, in other words, everybody is looking for the quick fix. Got a weight problem? Go take Ozempic. Boom. Don't get me on that. I won't even tell you about the side effects and what it's doing to people. But everybody's looking for, oh, Josh, how do I get into the prophetic realm? How do I get fresh revelation? Well, you got to do this, this, and this. Spend time with God. Well, I don't want to be holy. I like going to see that movie. I like cussing. I like living my way. I like listening to this music. I like doing that. But you got to consecrate. Well, I don't want to do that, but I want to hear from God, because that's not really how it works, brother. I don't care what anybody says. This is how, and this is why I say I don't really care what anybody says, because there are a lot of people that say you can do whatever you want to do and still have a close relationship with Jesus, but I think that's hogwash. It's really a coin flip, 50-50. Either I'm right or you're right. We'll find out one day when we get to the Bema seat. So I'd rather be conservative. It ain't hurting nobody. I'd rather be conservative and miss it than be too liberal and miss it. Here's the issue that we have in the church. This is my soapbox. I was talking with another pastor this week. What happens is we read the scripture and we make the scripture bend to our opinion. Instead of reading scripture and having our opinion bend to scripture. In other words, if I'm in sin or I'm doing something wrong, let me go into scripture, justify it, move a few words here and there. Let me go read the Passion Translation. Let me take it out of context and I'm okay. Instead of, this is what scripture says, and then I mold my life around what scripture says. That's why I'm not going to be everybody's cup of tea, because I'm going to call it how it is. Plain and simple. I love you. I'll do a lot of stuff with a lot of people. Busted his head on the keyboard. I'll do a lot of stuff with a lot of people. But when it comes to living a holy life, a concert, I'm going to do the best that I can. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Still get upset with my family. I still have stuff that I'm working out. But each day, it's not striving. I want to live right with Jesus. It's like, God, I love you so much that I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to do this. So Thanksgiving invites God's presence. You want the life hack? That's how it is. Start thanking God. Hey, thank you, Jesus, for this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. That's the hack that you want. That's the life hack. There really is no get rich quick scheme, get closer to God scheme. It's you're going to put in work. If you're a gamer, you're going to grind. Plain and simple. When we cultivate a grateful heart, we create an atmosphere for God to move. Andrew Murray, he said this, let us thank God heartily as often as we pray, that we have this spirit in us, that we have his spirit in us to teach us to pray. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with him. It will take our attention from ourselves and give the spirit room for our hearts. This reminds us that Thanksgiving is not just a response to answered prayers, but a key part to how we approach God in prayer. Your prayer should be every morning. There's two things that I tell folks when they get up. Number one, when they're praying, you don't have to do it in this order, but I tell people, you need to repent. If there's anything, Lord, forgive me for whatever. You're going to hear a lot of folks, you don't need to do that. It's been taken care of at the cross. Man, whatever, dude. You do you, I'll do me. Still love you, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do, all right? Repent of anything. And then two, have a thank. Lord, I thank you. Stop asking. Lord, I need this. I need that. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Number four, gratitude strengthens our faith. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, it says, then, as you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, continue to live our lives in him, rooted and build up on him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says this, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendations. A thankful heart is a faith-filled heart. Gratitude reminds us of God's past faithfulness, giving us confidence in his future provisions. I believe that an attitude of gratitude actually builds your faith. That's where your faith starts at. Because guess what? You can say thank you when it's not doing good. So when it does happen, you're believing by faith. Lord, the doctor gives you, man, you got cancer or you got this. Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. There you go. That's your faith. What does Hebrews say? It says, for now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You're stepping out in faith. Lord, I thank you. Man, I remember, and I really caught this when I was younger. I used to get stomach aches and stuff, and my dad was like, just start thanking God. You know, Lord, heal my body. And then after that, you know, God, Lord, heal my body. Lord, heal my body. Lord, heal my body. We don't need to do that. God heard us once. Start thanking him and see what happens. And so there'd be times I'd get sick. I'd feel sick. Lord, I thank you for my healing. Lord, I thank you for my healing. I just keep saying it. Lord, I thank you for my healing until the manifestation takes place. Number five, gratitude blesses others and honors God. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. Gratitude is contagious and inspires generosity. Nobody wants a Debbie Downer. Nobody wants to be around a Debbie Downer. I'll just put it in the practical. Think about your own children. When they say thank you, aren't you more ought to do stuff for them? Here's a life hack for young people and even my own kids. When you say thank you, I'm like, okay. I don't care how bad you were. You could have been a little hellion. You could have been the second spawn of Satan. But you say thank you, I'll be like, all right, man, I'll overlook what you did. All right, man, let's go. Come on. All right, come on. Let's go buy that thing. But when you get it and you have that, oh, I'm owed this. I'm like, man, forget you. I didn't have this when I was little, and I turned out okay. Have an attitude of gratitude. How much more does our Heavenly Father? Yes, he loves us. He gives us mercy. But it goes back to Scripture where God says, if you're faithful in little, I will give you more. In other words, I don't really believe that could be twofold. Faithful in little. You're setting up chairs. I don't want to do this. You're grumbling, complaining. Grumbling, complaining will keep you out of your promise. Look at the children of Israel. They were grumbling, complaining as soon as they came out of Egypt. Ah, you brought us out here to die. We had it better over there, you bunch of house slaves. You brought us here. Oh, look, here comes the Pharaoh's army. We're going to die. We're going to die here in front of the... And what happened? A whole generation missed out on the promised land. I'm not condemning anybody or saying anything, but what would it look like when we go receive our rewards in heaven? I don't know if Jesus does this. I mean, it does say that we will be judged. We will be judged what we did, both good and bad. How many things we're going to miss out on because we grumbled and complained? Oh, man, I really wanted that car, but I don't know. Oh man, I wanted that. I wanted this. I believe Jesus will rebuke us in love and compassion, but if he did to the Israelites, and that's his chosen people, they grumbled and complained. Moses! He disobeyed, but if he did that to them, we're just lucky to be grafted in, to be adopted. We're Gentiles. How much more is he going to like look at us and be like, "Hey, look, man, you were grumbling. You think I had mercy on my chosen people?" Now hear my heart. God's going to have mercy on everybody, and he loves everyone. But what I'm saying is that we have to look at, there's consequences. Have an attitude of gratitude. It will change your outlook. It will move God's heart. God is a God of mercy. He'll do stuff even if you don't deserve it. Shoot, just salvation alone. We definitely deserved hell. We deserved everything that we got. But because of his mercy and his goodness, we can confidently say, I'll be in heaven because of Jesus. Just that alone, if God never did anything else in your life, you can be like, hey, God, thank you. People don't want to do that. Oh, man, I'm going to sit here and thank God for my poor, broken down house, this, that, and the other. You better just be thankful that you're not going to be spending eternity in hell. At least here, you're only, 20 or 80, 90, 100, 120 years. 120 for me. I don't know about you guys, but whatever. What do you mean 120? Go read your scriptures. That's about as far as you can get. At 120, we're the ones that shoot ourselves in the foot. Don't believe me? Go read scripture. We're the ones that shoot ourselves in the foot. Dad, Joshua's talking about suicide. No. It's not what I meant. We're promised so many things, but we shoot ourselves in the foot, or we sell ourselves short because of grumbling, because of complaining, because of lack of thank you. God, thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my house. All right, I got to end with this because time is up. An attitude of gratitude is a powerful force that transforms our heart, strengthens our faith, and invites God's presence into our lives. Let us commit to living each day with thankfulness, trusting that gratitude opens the door to greater joy and blessing. It really does. If you want to see some Debbie, no one wants to be around a Debbie Downer. If you don't know who Debbie Downer, go watch the SNL. Debbie Downer is the funniest little sketch that they have. Debbie Downer, she always has these bad negative stuff. She'll get in, they'll be like, Debbie, somebody say, oh, I can't wait to this. Did you know that the polar ice caps melted? We'll all drown and be underwater. Wah, wah, wah. I can't have children, but if I did, I would die. Wah, like all these like really crazy negative things. They're at Disneyland. Disneyland is Disneyland is the funniest place. Did you know that 3 people die a day at Disneyland? Wah, wah, wah. I mean, it's the greatest sketch. But who wants to be around a Debbie Downer who isn't thankful? When you do stuff for your boss, for your friends, for whoever, and they just leave and they're like, don't say nothing. It's like, dude, are you even grateful? I even text my boss today. I was like, hey man, I just want to say I thank you and I appreciate everything you do for my family. I really do. He takes great care of me and my family. I want to be like, hey man, I thank you. I really appreciate that. Because guess what? There's so many people, and I'm not talking about him, I'm just talking about in general. There's so many people, look in your own lives, who have used you out of the goodness of your heart, have used you. Now, that's not for you to be like, oh, I'm not helping them anymore. You do what God's called you to do. But there's so many times people aren't grateful. And it's like, dude, if you don't like it, why do you act like it? Why do we act like we don't like when other people do it to us, but yet we do it to God? That's a double standard. So I'm going to wrap up with this. I encourage everyone to be an attitude of gratitude in all circumstances, not the good and not the bad, but in all the good and the bad. When your house is on fire, just, hey, man, this is all right. Not my problem. God, this is your problem. I don't know how you're going to cause to fix this. That's where I'm at right now. I'm just like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know I'm leaving in your hands. But I do know, I thank you that my family's here. I do know that my wife is alive. I do know that I have funds to take care of stuff. You know what? And people are like, well, you're going to fight with insurance. Why? They've been so nice. But two, I'm like, do you know who my dad is? Excuse me, my dad owns the cattle on 1,000 Hill. Oh, my dad owns all the gold and the silver. Oh, speaking of, my dad created you. My dad created that rock that you're standing on. Now, because of that, I'm a child of the Most High. I'm a child of the King. So I can go in with the mentality of, you know what? I'm going to have favor. That's the way I'm looking. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to have favor with all these insurance. I don't care what everybody else thinks. It's attitude of gratitude. Let's pray. Thank you.